Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Bad Mexicans by Kelly Little Hernandez is a work of borderlands history that reframes the Mexican Revolution through the lens of U.S. power, racial capitalism, and political repression. Centered on the organizing of Ricardo Flores Magan and the Mexican Liberal Party, the book follows a network of exiles, workers, journalists, and revolutionaries who operated across Mexico and the United States in the early 20th century. Hernandez shows how the label Bad Mexicans was used by state authorities and allied commercial interests to criminalize dissent, justify surveillance, and defend an emerging border regime. Rather than treating the border as a simple line separating nations, the narrative highlights a shared political economy in which U.S. dime, investments, law enforcement, and public narratives shaped events on both sides. The book blends biography, political history, and the history of policing to explain how revolutionary movements were built, how they were broken, and how their memory was contested. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, making a revolutionary network in exile. A core focus of the book is how revolutionary politics took shape not only in Mexico, but also in U.S. cities and border communities where exiles gathered. The Mexican Liberal Party and its leaders built a transnational infrastructure of newspapers, correspondence, fundraising, and mutual aid that allowed ideas and plans to move quickly despite distance and danger. Hernandez emphasizes organizing as labor, showing the daily work required to keep a movement alive, printing and distributing publications, recruiting supporters, negotiating ideological differences, and securing resources while constantly evading arrest. The story also highlights how migration and exile could become strategic assets. U.S. industrial centers and border towns offered access to sympathetic workers, radical circles, and media outlets, while proximity to Mexico enabled cross-border coordination. At the same time, operating within the United States meant confronting U.S. law, nativism, and the vulnerabilities of immigrant life. By tracing these networks, the book reveals the revolution as a shared borderlands phenomenon rather than an event contained within Mexico. And it explains how movement building depended on social ties as much as formal leadership. Secondly, Bad Mexicans as a political label and a racial project. Hernandez explores Bad Mexicans as more than an insult, arguing it functioned as a political technology that fused race, class, and state power. The label marked certain Mexicans as inherently threatening, not because of specific actions alone, but because they challenged the economic order and the racial hierarchy that supported it. By portraying radicals as criminals and foreigners as dangerous, authorities and allied interests could undermine public sympathy, justify harsh policing, and isolate organizers from broader communities. This framing also worked to narrow the range of acceptable Mexican political identity, rewarding compliance while punishing dissent. The book situates these narratives within a wider context of U.S. empire building and the consolidation of modern border enforcement. It shows how public opinion, newspaper coverage, and official statements created an atmosphere where repression seemed necessary and moral. The effect was to transform political conflict into a matter of law and order, making revolutionary goals appear illegitimate. By analyzing the language of badness, Hernandez demonstrates how racialized storytelling can be as consequential as weaponry, shaping who is protected, who is hunted, and whose aspirations are treated as disposable. Thirdly, policing. Well, surveillance, and the birth of a border security state. The book details how law enforcement and intelligence operations became central tools for managing political turmoil in the borderlands. Hernandez links the pursuit of revolutionaries to the growth of policing institutions, cross-agency cooperation, and new methods of surveillance. Tracking activists required informants, intercepted communications, coordinated raids, and partnerships that blurred the boundaries between local police, federal authorities, and private actors. These practices did not simply respond to violence, they helped define dissent as a security problem and normalized extraordinary measures against targeted communities. The narrative also shows how the border itself became a policing project, where mobility could be restricted, papers demanded, and certain bodies treated as suspicious by default. Repression extended beyond arrests to include harassment, deportation pressure, and legal strategies designed to exhaust movements over time. By focusing on the mechanics of enforcement, Hernandez clarifies how a modern security apparatus can emerge from political conflict, and how such systems often outlive the crises that justified them. The topic underscores that the costs of this expansion were unevenly distributed, falling heavily on migrants, workers, and radicals whose rights prove fragile in the face of national security claims. Fourthly, empire, capital, and the struggle over Mexico. Another major theme is the entanglement of U.S. economic interests with political outcomes in Mexico. Hernandez portrays the borderlands as a zone where investment, resource extraction, and labor control shaped what kinds of change were tolerated. revolutionary movements threatened not only particular leaders, but also the broader arrangements that enabled profit and influence. The book examines how business interests and political authorities could align to stabilize conditions favorable to capital, whether through diplomatic pressure, policing, or support for certain factions. This approach helps explain why conflicts inside Mexico were never purely domestic, and why U.S. officials treated revolutionary organizing on U.S. soil as a matter of national interest. It also illuminates how workers and marginalized communities became central to these struggles, since they were both the source of revolutionary energy and the labor force that economic systems depended upon. By connecting ideology to material conditions, Hernandez shows how visions of freedom, land, and labor collided with imperial logics that prioritized order and access. The result is a portrait of revolution that is inseparable from the political economy of the borderlands and from the larger history of U.S. power in the hemisphere. Lastly, Memory, Martyrdom, and the Politics of History, Hernandez also addresses how revolutionary figures and movements are remembered, forgotten, or repackaged, and why those battles over memory matter. The story of the Mexican Liberal Party and Ricardo Flores Magón has often been reduced to simple categories: hero, criminal, dreamer, or threat. The book argues that these labels reflect struggles over legitimacy, with governments and institutions shaping public understanding in ways that defend existing power. When radicals are dismissed as bandits or outsiders, their critiques of inequality and repression become easier to ignore. When they are romanticized without context, their organizing methods and political arguments can be stripped of urgency. Hernandez uses this tension to show that historical narratives are not neutral, especially in borderland settings where race and citizenship shape whose stories are valued. The theme of martyrdom highlights how imprisonment and state violence can both silence and amplify a movement, turning individuals into symbols while also disrupting the collective work needed for change. By tracing the afterlives of revolutionary campaigns, the book invites readers to see history as contested terrain and to recognize how present-day debates about borders, policing, and migration are influenced by older patterns of storytelling and suppression. In conclusion, this book is best for readers interested in U.S. history, Mexican history, borderland studies, political movements, and the evolution of policing and surveillance. It will also resonate with anyone trying to understand how racial narratives and national security claims can be used to marginalize dissenting communities. The practical benefit is perspective. Hernandez connects the making of the modern border regime to earlier campaigns against radicals, showing how institutions and habits of repression become normalized over time. That helps readers interpret current debates about migration, policing, and cross-border power with a longer historical lens and clearer attention to who benefits from particular stories and policies. Compared with many accounts of the Mexican Revolution that focus primarily on battlefield leaders and events inside Mexico, Bad Mexicans foregrounds transnational organizing, U.S. involvement, and the machinery of criminalization. It also stands out for integrating political biography with structural analysis of race and empire, making the narrative both human and systemic. For buyers weighing similar titles, the book offers a distinctive frame that links revolutionary history to the roots of border enforcement and state power, giving it relevance far beyond a single era. If you would like to support Kelly Little Hernandez, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.